Tupou driving hard at the line. Tupou, has he done it? No, it's play on. They go wide. They go wide. They get the try. It's O'Connor for Queensland.
G'day and welcome to another episode of Rugby Fixation. We're a little bit delayed this week, but just wanted to go through some of the things regarding the Wallabies squad, because that came out a little bit over a week ago, but it's a nice time to talk about it because we've had a few changes just across the last sort of 24 hours, really, as we're looking at the 37-man squad that Dave Rennie named. We've now got two players dropping out, a few players that may or may not be eligible for different games based on where they fall, and then a few players also just potentially not quite right in terms of injuries or not being with the squad just yet. So plenty to think about with that squad of 37 as those numbers are already sort of adjusting for different fixtures. We're now only a few days away from the Wallabies versus Japan match. And so it's going to be interesting to see how the squad sort of comes together and I guess galvanizes, because this is a different beast for a lot of these guys. And for some of the ones here that, you know, are yet to make a debut or have not yet toured overseas, it'll be interesting to see how they go in Oita when they play Japan. So plenty to like, plenty to look forward to with this list. One of the things that we can see just going through some of the positions, I figured I'd go through some of them just based off some of the groupings of positions and just see how we're looking. So if we're looking at the props at the moment, the props named James Slipper, Tom Robertson, Angus Bell, Alan Alalatoa, and Taniela Tupou. We did have Pone Famasuoli in there as well. He's withdrawn because of a calf injury. So we are pretty light on with the props. I think it could be a chance to get some good minutes in here. The thing I like about this is that all five of these guys are experienced options. Tom Robertson has only recently come back into the fold, but he already boasts, 26 tests. So he is an experienced option that we can have in there. I think we'll still be seeing the pretty solid listing of Slipper, Bell, Alalatoa, and Tupou in that 23 that we're using. Probably the big omission here is Scott Seo. He's established himself as a very capable and experienced player, but at the moment, not one of the two best loose head props. So I do like that we're getting Tom Robertson in here because he is versatile and can cover both sides quite well. So I'm very keen to see how that goes. The props are then joined in the hooking front with four hookers, bringing the tally of hookers included in squads up to 10. A lot of those hookers haven't had game time yet, including Connell McInerney, who is in this squad now, and Tolu Latu, who has 19 test caps but has not yet been used by Rennie. So I'll be keen to see how they fare with Falau Fainga and Fledi Kaituu. The fact that Lachie Lonergan isn't coming along on this trip does give a bit of an inclination maybe that they are trying to rotate through these Brumbies hookers. And obviously having Dan McKellar included with the team does mean that he's seen all these guys in action and probably knows what to expect from all of them. And there are some great comments that we got on Twitter about perhaps why Connell's included. So I'm keen to see how they go. But unfortunately, the roundabout for the hooking position continues. We haven't really settled on that. The one that's going to be probably the interesting one to watch is the locks. Partially because we've got the two European-based players, Will Skelton and Rory Arnold. They're coming back in to join Isaac Rodder, Matt Phillip, and Darcy Swain. But the thing that makes this group interesting is that if we looked at the games last year, Rob Simmons was a guaranteed starter in all of our matches. We had, I think, a decent amount of expectation that Luke Ansaldo-Iloto would be in the 23 at some point, whether he was starting off the bench. And Matt Phillip was getting a lot of game time as well. So we did have a bit of a hierarchy with the locks. And with Ansaldo-Iloto leaving the squad to be with the his young family with the birth of the child, it's given a chance for some of these other guys to step up and have a bit of a crack. So it's created a really interesting, set of options for locks. I don't think many people would know what our best starting combination and bench option is. And I say that, full well, including myself in that. I'm very keen to see Arnold and Skelton, but I've been really impressed with the other guys this year as well. So I'm keen to see this battle for positions because I think we've got a lot of good options coming in when probably last year and the year before we weren't looking as set in this area. One of the areas that does have a few question marks as well is our back row. It's no secret that I've been upset that Harry Wilson isn't included in this mix. And even though I think he makes it into one of the better 23s, I also think this is an issue just in terms of the number of back rowers taken, especially with no Salakai Loto in the squad to cover. We've only got six back rowers between Sean McMahon, Rob Valentini, Lockie Swinton, Rob Leota, Pete Samu, and Michael Hooper. So it'll be interesting to see how they rotate through them, whether Hooper's given a rest at all, so that we can experiment with either Samu or McMahon as a seven, or whether we see him suit up for every match as the captain generally does, and just try and get a bit of a more solid idea of who our best six is. Because the blindside flanker, while we've had some good performances this year, we haven't had someone nail that spot. So we're keen to see how that shapes as we go through the campaign. But it looks like Rob Valentini has sort of nailed down that eight jersey for the meantime. So it does make it very interesting. I'm personally hoping to see Swinton take the sixth jersey out of these options at the moment, just because I think he's done a good enough job while starting, and Pete Simon is that desired bench option. That is, of course, keeping in mind that Sean McMahon isn't playing the Japan test. He's still going to be with his family, not in that bubble. So there is room for him to come back in, but whether that happens immediately, we didn't really see much of him in his cameo against Argentina in the Wallabies last outing. The scrum halves, I really like this. We've taken Nick White, Tate McDermott, and Jake Gordon. Really clear top three. So, I expect a little bit of rotation between maybe who starts and who is on the bench, but three great options. So I'm glad we've got that sorted. The fly half options, I guess we're limited to three as well. We got Quade Cooper and James O'Connor, with Rhys Hodge backfilling as a, not first choice fly half, but as a possible replacement. The issue here, Quade isn't necessarily eligible for all the matches. James O'Connor is super injury prone, hasn't started a test this year. So I don't love that we haven't taken Noah Lolesio. I know there's reasons been given for why he's not included, but just looking at the fly half stocks, I do think that we could have probably bolstered that a little bit more. We'll see how they go. If O'Connor remains healthy, then it's fine. There's no issue at all. Going past that, we've got the centers. And the centers are interesting because we've got a few players that can play both inside and outside. We've got a few players that, are coming back into the squad. Some that have not yet debuted for the Wallabies and some that are superstars but are injured. So between Samu Karevi, Hunter Paisami, and Lalakai Fekete, probably expect those guys to be fighting it out for the inside center jerseys, while we've got Lenny Gatau and Izzy Parisi fighting out for outside center. And of course, Paisami could also take a spot there, so could Karevi, but I think we're probably looking at those two more as inside centers. We've got a few questions around the centers as well, so we'll get to them soon once we've named off the rest of the squad, but I do want to just mention the outside backs we're taking. Rhys Hodge, aforementioned, I think he's probably the lock-in for fullback if the experiment with Bataya for the Barbarians doesn't go ahead, or if we're not able to experiment a little bit more with perhaps either him or Callaway. So I think he'll probably be our fullback, but the wings, we've got Jordy Bataya, Andrew Callaway, Filippo Dungunu, and Tom Wright. Of course, Marika Corambetti would normally be in that list, but he's withdrawn so he can spend time with his family, and completely understand that given how much time he's spent away just with the Melbourne Rebels. The nice thing here is Izzy Parisi could very easily fill in on the wing if needed. I tend to think Hooper probably could as well. He can sort of just go anywhere. So we do have options to fill this spot. But we've mentioned this before. We mentioned it last time when Corabetti was unavailable. No one can replace his work ethic. So it's a really big task. I think Pataya, can be a starting Wallaby, but his last outing didn't set the world alight. He needs to take this opportunity with both hands. Or if he doesn't, I'd love to see Dungunu or Tom Wright have another crack, because they're all great wingers, just none of them quite at the level of Corambetti. which is pretty understandable and a pretty hard level to reach. In any case, the reason why we went through all those, we just want to see who's included, who's making it into the team, and just get a bit of an idea from there. Because Dave Rennie's now used 74 different players in his squads, about 45 or so have gotten game time. From the ones missing out, Matt Tamua is a pretty big name to be leaving out. I know he's got good reason to, just with concussion symptoms, but it is the first time he's not been included in a squad for a while. Not having a backup fly half like Lolasio or Will Harrison is a bit interesting. Tom Banks' injury obviously means he's not available. I think we could go through a few options. Salakai Loto, we've mentioned already, Scott Seo. I would have liked to have seen Nisirani, Wilson, McWright in there if possible. And then there's a few other players like Vunivalu and even Muirhead who have been in the squads but not given any game time just yet, and for different reasons. But I think if we go through all these, the ones that I'm most interested in is, as we said before, the hookers. So Jordan Ulisi, he's played 6 tests under Rennie. Brandon Pangramosa played 10 tests under Rennie. Lachie Lonergan, 4 tests under Rennie. These guys have been given 20 caps, out of the 16 games that Rennie has been in charge of. So they do have some history. They've got some pedigree. They've got some history of being in the side. And it is interesting. They've got different reasons. But it is interesting that none of them are included and that we are still experimenting with other uncapped or barely used hookers, I'll say. So keen to see how they go. It really seems like Folau Fainga's nailed down that starting jersey. It's going to be great to see if Tolu Lato can fight it off him, because they were in that World Cup squad together and we did see Lato starting those matches. But Fainga's form has been, pretty good in parts. He's been really good in the loose. Line-out throwings had moments of looking good. But again, that's perhaps why we're seeing some of those other names in there. So I won't drag this one too excessively just because I am doing this one solo. So I'll go through the questions we got on Twitter, because I feel bad leaving them hanging for a bit, but they are great questions. I do want to get into them and just have a bit of a think about what is actually happening with this Wallaby squad, because there was a lot of excitement when we saw it, mostly because we're not seeing too many changes, but we're seeing that European injection of players that is really exciting as we start getting closer and closer to knowing what's going to happen in the future with the Giteau law or with the eligibility of overseas players, especially with Corin Bedi now being talked up as having played his last game. So that does make a massive difference for us. One of the things we'll start right off with, absolute podcast regular Jason Sherman getting in touch saying, is Lato a risk? Obviously referencing some of his off-field issues with the drink driving and some of the things that, have landed players in hot water before, even for much less sort of infringements. Is Lato seen as a bit too much of a risk? And I think he is, but I also think that's kind of why we've got the 4 hookers. And I think that's why he's getting this chance now. He's in a setup where he's not in Australia. He doesn't have that same support network. Rennie's been talked up hugely for his cultural alignment with how well he integrates everyone in the squad and, has that sort of rapport where it might not be chummy best friend, but it is really understanding how everyone ticks. And I think this could be a really great opportunity to see how Lato incorporates with that dynamic. Whether that, negates or blocks or, helps all the off-field issues, I'll be keen to see. But very truthfully, I think Lato in the 2019 World Cup was displaying the best hooking performances we've seen from an Australian hooker for a while. His over-the-ball work is great. His scrummaging is great. His line-out throwing isn't amazing, but, realistically, it's not any worse than the options we've used so far. So I'm really keen to see him get given a chance. Justin Sherman also adds, do we still have space for Lukan Salakai Loto in our best 23? And again, like we mentioned with the locks before, there's been so many players just sort of step up. And we've seen it with the centers as well. You can't really afford to take any time off. All these guys that have gone and taken a few weeks off because they've had the arrival of a new family member, it's really changed I guess their prospects are getting back into the team. We've had some great performances, and I think that they might struggle getting back in. The thing in Salako Lotto's favour is he's versatile. So being able to cover the blind side, I'd probably expect him, you know, with a bit more game time to work his way back into the 23. But, I mean, the performances of the other players, if Skelton and Arnold are as good as, you know, the hype would have you believe, then it's going to be really hard to get back in the 23. So I kind of like that we've had so many games this year where Swain's got minutes, where Phillips got minutes, where Rodder's worked his way back in, because it means we've got some great depth. But yeah, for these players, it's going to be a massive issue just trying to get their way back into the 23. And to be frank, it's probably the thing that at the end of this calendar year, when we've done all the test matches, I think lock will be the position where there'll be the most discussion for who makes our starting locks and who's our bench lock, because I honestly cannot pick what that set of options should be at the moment, especially taking into account, you know, having that impact off the bench and making sure you've got designated lineup callers and controllers and all that. Next, we had Lewis White getting in touch just wanting to know a bit more about the actual reason for leaving the young crew at home, and not really buying into the whole, you know, preseason with their clubs will make them better. And I do think it nearly is just with there only being the four matches, and with one of them being against, you know, Japan, where it's not in that sort of calendar setup, and they probably think they can, you know, test some of the wider squad a little bit more. I do think they just realize, hey, these guys aren't in our best 23 at the moment. They're probably not going to get that many useful test minutes at the moment. And while the, you know, benefits of being in the squad would be, you know, pretty obvious, I think, they also just realize it would be a bit surplus to requirements. I think one more back row wouldn't have hurt. So I would have liked either Wilson or McWright over there. But yeah, I do feel this question's probably got a few people thinking about, well, what's the benefit to this? And what I will shout out is the pick and drive episode that we recently did with Simon Strawn of Gainline Analytics. Really interesting to hear his thoughts on the difference between training in the Wallabies camp and environment as opposed to preseason, just what that might do for cohesion. Because at the end of the day, that's what Rennie is doing, is he wants these players to be better Wallabies. And whether that's, you know, seen by being in the squad, not getting minutes, or by doing all your training with your club team and having a even better super season, that remains to be seen. So I'm very keen to see how that sort of comes out in the wash. Just speaking with the Reds, Mitch Foster, and I should say, speaking of pick and drive, Mitch Foster, host of pick and drive, got in touch, and he's a, well, there's no other way to say it. He's a Reds fan, freshly minted. After plenty of discussions, he's on board with the Reds, and he's asking, is there a bias in not including the Reds? Slightly tongue-in-cheek, but also saying, how much game time do you expect each of the six Reds in the squad to get? And it's a good point, because the Reds won the super competition but aren't super heavily represented in the Wallaby squad at the moment. And while they did have a few squad members at the start, we did see that the team very quickly became Brumbies dominant and slightly less red. So just going through the list of options that are in the squad at the moment and play for the Reds and how many minutes I expect them to get, the ones that stick out to me, clearly Taniela Tupou, he's going to be in the squad every week. He, you know, has had some great starting appearances, so he might get to retain the jersey, but regardless of whether he does or doesn't start, he'll be in the 23 each week, I'd think. Same for Tate McDermott. There's a chance he gets rested so Gordon can have some minutes, but I wouldn't even be surprised to see him start with Gordon on the bench. I think Tate's going to get a fair bit of game time as well. The ones that get interesting is where we fall with Karevi's injury. Because I would think James O'Connor comes into the 23. For the games that Quaid doesn't start, he'd be the 10. If they're keen to keep Quaid in that 10 jersey, then it does make sense having O'Connor on the bench. He, you know, is the natural 10 replacement, but can also cover other positions. But whether Karevi's injured or not means whether Paisami becomes a starting option or if he's perhaps one of the bench options, just because he is also quite a good player to inject late into the match. And then the two that are probably fighting it out for Corin Betty's vacant jersey, Jordy Pitar and Filippo Dangunu, I don't think we'll see both in the same 23. There's a chance, but I think Pitar is the more versatile, and it's probably between Pitar and Wright for that other jersey that Callaway's not using. We did see Dangunu get some minutes, literally some minutes in the French series before the injury, but yeah, again, this is a bit of a coin toss. My personal preference, if we're trying to get a like-for-like, I'd probably be putting Dangunu in there, keeping Callaway on the other wing, and then Jordy Pitar would be a bench option just because he is really versatile. He can come off the bench with Tate, O'Connor, and really just get that Reds combination going. So I've been a bit roundabout, but to answer the question, I'd like to see all of these players getting minutes. Paisami will struggle the most if Karevi is available, and I don't think it's that likely. In fact, it's probably not likely that Dangunu and Pitar will start together. But if they see Dangunu as a better wing option than Tom Wright, then we will get a few minutes from one starting and one off the bench, I would think. And two bits came in here, and this was a really consistent theme. So I'll go through all of them. Great squad, 15 is a concern, and too few back rowers. So that was from Grant Lippmann. And we've touched on the back rowers. It is a great squad. And with that 15 concern, we've also had Bart Willis getting touched saying, where is Banks? He's out with his injury, so that was supposed to be 8 weeks. So he wouldn't have recovered until maybe the Welsh game. But even then, probably not worthwhile when we've got other fullback options. And Reg Roberts getting in touch saying, no fullbacks in the squad. Really interesting, this one. Whether there's some, you know, wriggle room in that maybe they could call upon Beal or Morahan or Mog or, you know, one of those players if there was an injury. But you're right, out of these players, I would call Reece Hodger fullback. I think that's his best position. But there's not really standout candidates. Callaway, Pitaya, and Tom Wright have all been discussed there, but none of them have actually got the minutes. O'Connor's obviously played fullback before, hasn't done it for ages. He doesn't have the same pace he used to. Great kicking game, great ability to play make and inject himself. So it wouldn't be the worst idea, but at the same time, he finished Super Rugby as, I think, the second best fly half in the Southern Hemisphere. Like, he was phenomenal. So I'd be keeping him in that 10 jersey where I can and trying to really just cement Hodge in there, because obviously we do see the upside to him with his kicking game. Aside from one game, he has been really good aerially. So I think that's probably where we're locked in for fullback. But as has already been discussed, he's got injury concerns as well. So it's going to be really tough to see how we manage the lack of fullback options in the squad. Cherokee got in touch asking where Harry Wilson and Fraser McBride. And don't worry, mate, I've been asking the same thing. But we know they're training or will be training soon with the Red squad, just getting some extra minutes. And, you know, both at the moment not making that best 23, which is sort of understandable. Our Cactus back got in touch talking again about the 10 hookers being used already. I'd love them to settle on which ones are going to be locked in. It's been discussed on this podcast. I know Harry Nelson of Draft Rugby and Mitch Nando of Pick and Drive, we've all been having discussions about how Dave Parecki hasn't been given game time yet. And he's also one that's, you know, probably right up there with one of the best. Alex Murphy has had some awesome minutes for the Reds, but, you know, isn't getting looked into. Brandon Pangramosa, he's still in Australia, but isn't getting taken over. So it's really interesting to see just how the use of hookers has sort of played out. I'd love this to be the tour where we settle on at least two of these four guys. And this way we come out of it knowing between Kaitu'u, Fainga, Latu, and McInerney, we've got a set option of, okay, well, he's, you know, going to be in our team, whether he's starting for the bench and he's going to be in the squad. He's so vital to a squad. I don't really care which two of these four that ends up being, but I'd love to get that nailed. Hugh Tindall's getting in touch, and one of his questions, this has come up again a fair few times as well, and I do like this option, where he said he'd like for Keddie and Parisi to get a run together, just to try and take advantage of their cohesion they have at the Waratahs. I'm really split on this, because if Parisi gets a start, and I think he's pretty likely to get some minutes at some point, it does make sense to give him Fichetti as his inside man, because they did play a lot of games together for the Waratahs and they looked really good. The Waratahs midfield combo was probably the most threatening thing to the New Zealand sides in Super Rugby Trans-Tasman. So if we were to try and get that combination going, I can see benefit to it. My big problem is I don't really see this tour, just with the current age and makeup of Rennie's squad, I don't really see this tour as the kind of opportunity to just play players for the sake of it and see if it works. I think we've had Fichetti in the squad long enough to know that he isn't the first choice 12, and he's probably not the second choice 12. So I do think we would be seeing Karevi there, if healthy, obviously. And then if he isn't, I think Paisami still gets the crack there. Parisi is a 13 option, though. I think before his injury, there was genuine talk about him being the starting 13. Lenny Katao has been amazing. His left foot's awesome. His defense is much better than Parisi's. He's not as damaging in attack, but he's still broken a lot of tackles and looked really, really good and just grown into each game. Probably no better summed up than his little flick to Callaway in the last test against Argentina. So for me personally, as much as I like this idea and as fresh as I am about talking about cohesion with Simon Strawn, I do think this combination probably shouldn't get a run, just in the, you know, the circumstance of trying to put our best team out there, or at least trying an option that we know is one of the top two options. I just don't think Fichetti is our, you know, best or second best inside center at the moment. So that's my only concern. And then the last 2 points, I'll combine together. Talam Suda got in touch to say who is McInerney with, you know, sort of the laughing emoji. I do think it's sort of, you know, funny that we've just got so many hookers that, you know, people that follow the game religiously aren't even sure who these guys are. And the fact that three of them come from the same Super Rugby side, just, it does sort of add to that just because of the rotation. But Ivan Gavazov, in the same sort of theme with McInerney, did say it's good to see him in the squad and it's a nice reward for how good he was during Super Rugby and that he can throw straight. And this sounds stupid when we're talking about international hookers, but if, you know, if that's the differentiator, is we've got someone who might not be as explosive or might not, you know, wait on the wings quite as often, or might not, you know, claim the ball for a rolling more try, but if he can actually throw straight, that might be enough to just push him through and make him the number one contender. So very interesting to see that comment. And it's a comment I agree with. I think McInerney probably was forcing himself into the first choice Brumbies hooker at different points during that season. So, yeah, I mean, it's nice to see injuries recovered. He's ready to have a crack on this tour. Whether he gets game time immediately, I'm not sure. He is the only hooker here that is uncapped completely. But Rennie hasn't used Latu yet either. There's a chance that before that European sort of stint of games that McInerney could get some minutes. And I think it'd be, you know, pretty fair and pretty justified in him doing that. I think that's all I want to talk about for the squad, though. There's a lot to go through, and especially just doing it solo. It's a lot to sort of rattle off and just sort of think about. But the thing that I will just sort of touch on is, out of the 16 games Rennie's played, we've seen Philip, Tupou and Hooper used in literally all of them. So they seem pretty likely to keep getting the minutes. In terms of the double digits, so getting 10 or more appearances, the Reds trio of McDermott, Pitara and Paisami, they've all been used really heavily. On top of that, Nick White, whenever he's available, he gets in there. Angus Bell, he's really cemented himself. Rob Valentini, Reece Hodge and James Slipper. So that's a really nice spine of a team to try and build around. If Hodge can just nail that fullback jersey, I'd really like that, just because he is experienced. He does offer something quite nice there. The sad thing is no hookers listed there. So we'd like to try and get one of those locked in. And also, pretty importantly, no fly half listed there. That is normally a position where we have the one option, we just sort of stick to it. But, you know, we've seen, I think Lolasito's got 8 or 9 caps, and Cooper's played a few of them, O'Connor's played a few of them, Hodges played, you know, so we don't have someone locked in there. They're going to be the positions to try and lock in. But, oh, I like this team. I like this team. Between McInerney, Skelton, Latu, Arnold, Fichetti, and Parisi, 6 players in there that Rennie hasn't yet used. So 6, given there's only 35 in the squad, I do expect a good chunk of them to get some minutes. And I do hope that, especially with the Farmasuli out, if he is taking all these guys over, I do hope they all get some minutes. The big challenge, and something we'll probably talk about, you know, just in the build-up to the test matches, which players are going to get those minutes? Whereabouts do we see them actually getting that time to come together and actually put a performance in that shows, hey, we're actually, you know, ready for the test arena too, or we're ready to get into that sort of category of the Phillips and Tupos and Hoopers that have really cemented their spot on the team. But anyway, that will do it. We'll keep it short. We'll keep it sweet. The downside to this is it's not as fresh as I would have liked with the squad coming up. But the great news is for people that, you know, have seen the squad and maybe not thought about it since, maybe it just gets a few cogs turning and a few questions just going about, okay, yeah, who is our best lock combination? Or who would I like to see at center if we don't have our Karevi available? Does Paisami's injection come in as heavily as I'm favoring? Or is Fichetti a better option? Or can Parisi play 12 as he did for the Waratahs in 1 or 2 games? So many questions, so many things to think about. But for the time being, I'm just going to have a little look through my spreadsheets and just sort of play with all the different numbers and just think there is a lot to like about this team. 4 great games coming up, 4 really interesting, different opposition. Awesome chance for Dave Rennie to lay down the marker and say, this is the Wallabies 2023 World Cup. Here we come.